Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, I read an interesting article recently about Tony Modra and his feelings about the Crows and Malcolm Blight and everything like that. And I remember back what a huge impact Tony Modra had on supporters in regards to people would go and support the Crows, but there were certain supporters that actually went to watch Tony Modra play full forward and take his marks. And I'm just wondering, what type of effect do these types of people have on supporters?
Well, he certainly, back in the day, I mean, the full forward was the sort of glamour player, weren't they? I mean, it was a different style of football, and taking the big, and Modra could take a big mark, and everyone loves a big mark. And so I think, you know, when you're taking big marks and kicking goals, you're the centre of attention. Even though it never seems to work out for Brownlow medals, does it, or McGilley medals, but certainly from the public's perception, they love that style of football. And so even today, I mean, it's not as common, and there's certainly been a change in the way the ball moves in the forward line, but the big marks still certainly get a lot of media attention, and people love it. I mean, when I was a kid up there, Kazaley.
Yep.
You know, there's a whole song about it, isn't there? And probably the guys that follow, like Modra's a bit, was so that sort of ilk of, you know, like taking the big mark and a bit flamboyant.
Well, you remember at school, kicking end-to-end, you always flew for those speckies. You always wanted to be like the big star.
I imagine the kids at the time would have been yelling...
Jesselinko.
Modra,
yeah.
Yeah, they would have been, and so... Of course we loved, didn't you love that, like trying to get a hanger?
Absolutely. You might only take 1 out of 10, but...
Well, that's not the point, it's how you look.
Yeah. So it was a cool thing to do. You know, but you look at other sports and, I mean, I look at basketball, for argument's sake, and there's Michael Jordan and even American ice hockey, you know, there's Wayne Gretzky, and there's a whole lot of people that you pinpoint. Soccer, there's Pelé. You pinpoint these people... as a pinnacle, Muhammad Ali, you just admire what they've done for sport, and that's just from a perspective of an even-handed look at a sport, yet you translate that to people that come to the games, get influenced by these particular people. I suppose we need that person to look up to.
Well, we do, don't we? I think, you know, obviously we're heavily involved in sport, and that's been a big part of our lives. And so, but in other areas of other people's lives, they're going to have people who they do look up to, that do inspire them and motivate them to do something. And but the people that you're mentioning, they transcend in some ways just their sport. And also, like we've spoken about it before, like their world, people know their name around the world, not just in their sport, in their country. And so it always seems to be people that... just have done more. There's always a story to it, isn't it? It's not, so there's something about them that they've, yes, they're very good at their sport, but there's something more about them, whether it's their personality, whether it's about their background, whether it's something they've overcome, that somehow, you know, people go, well, that interests me, that sort of draws me in. And so it's just more than just following. There's a real affection for them, isn't there?
Well, you know, we spoke about Aussie rules, but let's not forget Don Bradman for cricket. I mean, he played like the 30s and 40s, but he's still revered now as the pinnacle of the sport. And he's been passed on like 20 years ago or something.
Yes, and sometimes, and I'm not saying this at all about Don, because he obviously his record speaks for himself, but sometimes you think the old saying, the older we get, the better we were.
Yeah.
You know, like... we sometimes hark back to past times as being better or different, and often we compare modern sports people less favourably with people from the past. And I think it's really difficult, isn't it, to compare a cricketer of today's generation to someone like Bradman. It's just such a different sport, and the expectations and the pressures and just the quality of the game is probably very different.
Well, there's a whole range of things. There's the cultural differences. There's the travel differences. I mean, you know, back in the 30s, they travelled by ship to play cricket in England. Can you imagine that? Can you?
I know, it's amazing when you hear the stories of people coming to, like, the Melbourne Olympics and so on. And, you know, now people can play, you jump on a plane and you're somewhere on the other side of the world. You can, I mean, in less than a day, in most cases half a day, and that's nothing, isn't it? And these guys were travelling for weeks So, the, I mean, the amount of sport that gets played now at a high level, I mean, these guys and girls are playing a lot of sport.
I think it's very interesting. When I read biographies about sports stars of the past, and they talk about the pressure of the media. Wow, what about today's pressure of the media with Facebook and Instagram and all this type of
stuff? Well, I think, yeah, I think the pressure now is much greater, and we've seen some of the things that have happened over the last few weeks with certain players putting information out there on social media that has caused all sorts of storms. But Instagram followers, for example, I looked up some information, and who do you think would be the person, the Australian athlete, who'd have the highest number of Instagram followers?
At a guess, I would say a Geelong footballer.
You're saying Gary Ablett?
Yes.
No.
Oh, where's he?
He's not even in the top 10.
Is it a footballer?
No.
What sport?
Ben Simmons, NBA basketball. Young guy playing for the 76ers, Philadelphia Sixers. So he's got, and again, this is the thing, isn't it? Like, this is, here's a sport, NBA, basketball, especially NBA, has such a big following. So he has 1.5 million Instagram followers.
Wow.
So when he puts something on Instagram, 1.5 million people are going to see it.
So would that be because of his, he's an Australian, but would that incorporate a world following?
Yes.
What would the Australian following be compared to a Gary Ablett?
I don't know that, but see, the top, so these are the top five: Ben Simmons, David Warner, 1.3 million, Steve Smith, 1 million, Mick Fanning, 1 million.
What about the Shark?
I don't know if the Shark's got an account yet. Daniel Ricciardo, 1 million. And interestingly, in the women, three out of the top four athletes with Instagram following are all surfers.
Wow.
And so cricket is the number one sport.
Yep.
Then AFL, then NRL, and fourth is surfing.
I bet you baseball's fifth.
Baseball was not. In fact, I had to go a long way down the list to find a track and field, male track and field athlete.
What about a hammer thrower?
No, there was not on the list.
It is interesting, the media today. I mean, we're not only talking about your television and radio and newspapers. The electronic media today has changed the culture of sport watching, hasn't it?
I think it has, and there is so much information there. Like, if you, anything you want to know about any team, any athlete, you can find it in some form of media. And, you know, you think back in the day where we'd wait for the news to be on, or we'd pick up the newspaper and read it. Now, if I want to do a search like I can do today, I can search anyone and find so much information about them, and all different opinions too. And that's the different thing. You know, in the past, there was certain people's opinions on sports people or sports and teams, etc. But now, of course, everybody can have an opinion, and they can be voiced in some form or another. And I think that must be the hard thing for modern day athletes, because they are under such scrutiny, and they just have to be so careful about what they do, where they're seen, all those type of things. And you imagine, if they had social media back 20 years ago, what some of these sports people might have been in a bit of trouble.
Well, yeah, you've heard about the 70s and 80s of cricketers and the footballers, what they used to get away with. There's no way they'd get away with that today.
Well, it's just unacceptable, isn't it? And so there's been a big shift in what expectation of, and you said before about role models, and I've always wondered whether sports people should be role models. They're always great at their sport, obviously, and certainly as a role model for their sport, of course, but I'm a bit concerned when people say, I'm going to look at this person as a role model. Now, some athletes, sports people are fabulous. They do a lot for the community, a lot for other people, and a lot for their sport. They're very community-minded. Where, of course, the reality of playing top-level sport is you really need to focus on that and be, most times, pretty selfish about getting to the top.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion, and there's also the different views that people have. Now, you talk about the followers. Now, would a sports person be influenced to participate in sport another way because that's what the followers want? Is there that type of pressure on a sports person to to change the way they do things? I don't know. So it's a rhetorical question in regards to what's your thinking about it.
Yeah, that's the hard thing. I certainly, there's information coming out now, the psychological effects of social media on not just athletes, but lots of all of us, and the effect it can have on our choices and our behaviours. And certainly now where you can, that's the thing, is that you can influence a lot of people you can just now put out a tweet or a post or whatever it might be, and you are influencing, in this case, like we talked about, could be millions of people. And so, again, you've got those followers, and, of course, yes, they're going to be having an expectation on you and putting pressure on you as well. So I think, no doubt, and it's not just your followers. I think it's people generally, and we're seeing that now, again, when some people have made statements, acted a certain way, and there has been a very big backlash against them. And so now that's something that people do need to take into account. So maybe in some ways that does get people to think about their behaviour and modify their behaviour in a positive way. But of course, some people get notoriety from doing things that aren't considered politically correct.
I think one of the biggest drawbacks with the current social media is that if someone just wants to be left alone and they want to play their sport and just enjoy their sport, and they come up with rumours, and those rumours are put on the social media, and they grow legs. There's no necessary truth about it, but it's someone's interpretation. And I see that happening to certain people who they deny it, and at the end of the day you find out, no, that's not what happened, but there's no recourse. That person can't really say anything, because, and then that stigma is always attached to that particular person, that, you know, they did that or whatever, but they may not have. That is probably one of the biggest drawbacks of the social media, in my opinion.
I think that's, again, you imagine back, say, 10, 15 years ago, you've played your game or whatever it might have been, you've competed and you haven't done well. You might get a few harsh stories written, you know, reporters, and they're just reporting what's happened. I can certainly see that's going to, you know, that people read that and be upset about that, but as you're saying, like now, everything is so scrutinised, and not everything that is written is going to be truthful. And again, it's opinion. So I think that that's the issue, that these guys and girls just can't really hide. And you said, like, Tony Modgery mentioned him at the beginning, like, he now is a bit of a recluse, isn't he? He sort of spent his time doing what he's done. He played football at a high level, did very well. And in some ways, he sort of just disappeared. And he does, obviously, his privacy is important to him, but it's probably, is it even possible for a modern-day high-level athlete to have any privacy?
You know, and of course, we haven't spoken about this subject before, but trolls, people that get on there and get on the internet, and they use the internet to be bullies or whatever. I mean, I know myself, when I've written articles and things like that, if someone doesn't agree with it, or someone finds a mistake or whatever, or something negative, they'll get stuck into you, but they'll never tell you they're happy with anything. They'll never tell you you're right. And even when they say you're wrong and you've proved you're right, they just move on and they let it go. So there's, and that's a minor aspect. I mean, I don't cop much of that. But you translate that to someone that's got a million followers, that would destroy a person. I feel bad about one or two negative comments. They're getting hundreds and hundreds of thousands of comments.
And we spend a lot of time in schools now and in society talking about bullying and harassment and how that can be, have such a negative impact on young people. And sometimes it amazes me how, I'm sure there'd be parents who are clearly saying, hey, bullying is not good, we shouldn't bully people, you know, we shouldn't do this to kids at school. But then they might have a throwaway comment on social media that, in fact, is that. And one comment may not seem too much, but if that becomes, if that takes ground and more people are saying that, then, of course, if you're an athlete, especially a young guy or girl, reading these comments, it has to affect you. I mean, we'd like to think those things can't reach us, but obviously they can.
An interesting thing I learnt the other day was that freedom of speech, now in America it's part of their constitution, part of their Bill of Rights and everything like that, But actually in Australia, it's not. It's not written in there in the Constitution or anything like that, because there was an understanding that that's the way it was from the English Parliament. But the trouble with that nowadays is everyone sort of kicks up about the freedom of speech and people that want to bully, et cetera, that's their right to say that. But what about the person that's on the end of it? Where's their freedom to be, you know, defended?
I think that's the thing. It's if everyone stopped and thought about what they're putting onto social media, and yes, well, we can all have opinions and we might be right or wrong. It doesn't really matter. But if we stop and think, I might think this, but do I really need to share this? Is it going to make anyone's life better? Is it going to do anything for me? Is it going to help anybody else? And I think if you're thinking, if this can cause some form of harm, don't say it. There's no benefit in being right or having an opinion when it's not going to, it's causing harm to others.
Look, recently there was I was doing a match report for Central District, and early in the game, one of the central players missed an easy goal. Now, in my match report, I just said, yeah, Central's player missed a goal. I didn't want to name the guy because other people made mistakes. But I noticed somewhere else in the media actually mentioned his name. He copped a bit of criticism over that. And I don't think that's fair, because there would have been five or six of his teammates that also missed easy goals in the game. But because he missed the first one, he was highlighted. I don't think it was necessary to highlight the guy's name in that situation when he's not a... Like, for instance, we used to have John Butcher play, and John Butcher used to... Butcher a lot of his shots at goal. So he copped criticism because he consistently did that. And you get one young person that's missed one shot, and all of a sudden sort of he's a scapegoat. That's a form of bullying, I think.
It can be, and then it becomes persistent, and that's what that person is labelled at. So it'd be nice if everyone just took a step back, encouraged our athletes, understood that they're under a fair bit of pressure, understand, like, we all make mistakes. We can't get everything right, and appreciate what these people are trying to do.
Look, we're going to have to take this subject up again, because it's very intriguing, very interesting, but we have to end another Carlin Lay Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.